So the title of this message is that it is God's Word is unstoppable.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, we worship You. We do exalt Your name, the name that is above all names. Lord, we know the Scripture that says You inhabit the praises of Your people, Lord, and we can feel Your presence in this place. God, we just ask that You would continue to move, Lord. We have prayed that You would be exalted, You would be lifted up, Lord. And as we read Your living Word today, Lord, let it pierce our hearts. Let it change us. Let us see it in a different way. Let it come to life, Lord. And let us not leave here the same. Let us leave here transformed, renewed, and encouraged that we serve the Almighty God. We give You all praise, all glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This was an interesting word. The Lord has always, almost always, given me the title first. And He didn't give me the title for quite some time. He actually gave me the closing first. And I was like, well, that's great. It's going to be really short, you know. But actually, Marty had sent me a video, and it was of Tim Tebow talking about his faith and sharing this thing. And then somebody else sent it to me. And then I saw it on my own and I kept seeing it. And I was like, I got it. You know, I'll talk about that. But before we get there, this whole word, or at least this first verse, was some advice that Lisa once gave me. She told me, she said, don't be a fool. So I always thought, you know, would a fool do this before I do it? And then I wouldn't do it if a fool would do it. But no, that wasn't the advice that she gave me. I used to get so nervous before I would preach. And I wasn't afraid of any of you guys. I didn't care if you guys really enjoyed it all that much. But I told Lisa, I said, I'm so afraid that I'm going to mess up God's Word. And she said, you're not that powerful. Then I was like, boy, isn't that the truth? Isaiah 55, verse 10 is where we will start. And the prophet Isaiah had just finished in verses 8 and 9 the scriptures, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. Because the heavens, as the heavens are higher, so are my ways higher than yours. And he goes in to verse 10 and he says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it doesn't return back. It doesn't go back up to heaven, but it waters the earth, and it makes it to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then he says the same way, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it's going to prosper in the thing that I sent it to do. I could finish right there. The title, everything that I'm going to tell you is encapsulated in that. God's Word will not return void. What's it going to accomplish? What He pleases. I'm not that powerful. I am not going to be able to stop God's Word. It's going to accomplish what He pleases. And then it's going to prosper. It's going to prosper. So anytime that God gives you a word to tell to somebody, go tell so-and-so this scripture. And you're like, I don't understand. He didn't ask you to understand. You go and you give Him the word that He has given you. He doesn't say, hey, now let me explain this to you and make sure you're okay with it. He says, you go and you speak my word. And it'll accomplish what He pleases. And it's going to prosper. His word is so powerful. Ephesians 6:17. Talked about this last time I got to preach. It goes through the whole armor. And he talks about all of the things that we put on. You know, we take the whole armor, right? We put on We have our loins girt about with truth. We have on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We take the shield of faith. We put on the helmet of salvation. But then we have a weapon. And what is that weapon? It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is our weapon. Do you know your weapon? Can you use it? It is a weapon. And what kind of weapon is it? Well, it says in Hebrews 4:12 exactly what this sword is. It says the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's as sharp as, right? It's as sharp as any other sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what the word quick means in the Greek when it says the Word of God is quick? It means it's alive. The Word of God is alive. It's living. It's lively. And you know what the word powerful means? It means full of energy. It's energized. It's active. It's effective. This is our weapon. It's alive and it's effective. It's powerful. Use your weapon. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Peter says, being born again. How many of you were born again? How many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, then he's talking to you. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? The Word of God, which liveth and abides for a season. Forever. Forever. It says all flesh is like grass. The glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers. The flower falls away. But the word of the Lord will endure forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's the same gospel that we're preaching today out of the word of Almighty God. You know what he was quoting there? Isaiah 40 verse 8. We're just going to let Rick throw that up there. But what's it say? It says the exact same thing. The prophet Isaiah said, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. It stood when Isaiah spoke it. It stood when Peter spoke it. And it stands today. It will abide forever. So the title of this message is that it is God's Word is unstoppable. It has no limitations. There's nothing that you can do about it. In Isaiah 55, what did it say? It said, whatever He purposes, whatever He pleases, it will do and it will prosper. It will not return void. We learned in Ephesians that it's the sword of the Spirit that we have. In Hebrews, that it's quick and more powerful than any sword. And in Peter, and in, again, in Isaiah, that it will last forever. The Word of the Lord, God's Word, is unstoppable. So use it. Right? We have to know it. We have to use it. It is our weapon. We need to quit being on the defensive and go on the offensive with the living Word of Almighty God. God's Word is unstoppable. I loved the title when He gave it to me. And I sent it to Rick and he goes, I love the title. And I put, so do I. Because I didn't come up with it. It's true though. There's nobody, nothing that can stop the Word of Almighty God. He said it will do what it pleases Him and it will prosper. Know that. It will stand for all time. And how do we know that and why? And I read this, I think, the last time, but I'm going to read it every time if God asks me to. John chapter 1. In the beginning was what? The Word. The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And nothing has changed. It is for all time and forevermore. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shineth into darkness and overpowered it. It said the darkness comprehended it not. The light overpowered the darkness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness that he would bear witness of that light. that all men through him might believe. Now John, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. See, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, John bare witness of him and cried. He cried out saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me because he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. It became Jesus and dwelt among us. It's unstoppable. It will do what it's supposed to do. So we need to speak it. We don't need to keep it. It will do what it's supposed to do. What if they don't accept it? It will do what it's supposed to do. What if they don't like it? It will prosper. What if they don't want to hear it? It will prosper. Don't worry about the consequences. Speak the Word of God. It is unstoppable and it will do what it was sent to do. It will not return void. What does the Bible say about the Word? And what do we sing these songs and we know these things, but let's go to Psalm 119. It's a short chapter, so I'm going to read the whole thing. It's very good. You guys know that it is not indeed a short chapter, and I will not be reading all 176 verses. I will only be reading 170. So, in Psalm 119, verse 9. It said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to cleanse yourself? No, his word. His word. It says, with my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander. Let me not wander from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Can you hide this in your heart without opening it and reading it? Can you hide it if you don't know it? Now, Pastor Jerry, when he had his open heart surgery, he asked them to stick a Bible in there when they had cut it open. He goes, I want to do what Psalm 119 says. Now, don't think it's crazy. He had one of the Gideon Bibles because the other was too big. But he said, stick it in there so I can... No, we have to read it to hide it in here. We all, let me hide your word in my heart, but we don't open it. Right? How are we going to hide it in here? We have to read it and know it in case we're ever in a position where we don't have access to it. There is condemnation for Christians. Pastor Jerry just talked about it. It's coming. What if they take your Bible? They can't take it if it's in here and it's in here. We have to read it and know it. We have to hide it in our heart. Verse 12, he said, blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. And it says, I will meditate in your precepts. He said, I will meditate on your teachings. Again, how can you meditate if you don't know what they are? We have to know them to meditate on them. I will meditate on your teachings. And have respect to your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You can't remember something you've never seen, heard, or read. We have to read it so that we won't forget it. Verse 105, same chapter. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have we ever sang that song before? Yeah. You know what? I read that. And I kept trying to get my light to come on. I guess the old Bibles had flashlights in them like our cell phones too, because it says it's a light, right? I was hitting it off my knee. I was like, come on. I checked the batteries. It would never light up, right? No. We read it and it guides our steps. What are we going to do? Whatever it says in this book. Where are we supposed to go? Wherever God leads us through His Word. We have to read it. Don't close your Bible and sit there and say, I wish God would speak to me. Because He is speaking to you. You have to open it and read what He wrote to you. Your Word is a lamp and a light into my path. If we know it. Verse 147 and 148. He says, I prevented. He says, I got up before the dawn of the morning and cried. And I hoped in what? In His Word. And then, he says, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I might meditate in what? Your Word. Are we getting up with His Word? Are we going to bed with His Word? Are we meditating on it? We have to know it to meditate on it. Open your Bible and read it. What should we read? Any of it? All of it? 2 Timothy chapter 3. She's heard enough. She's going to go read the Bible right now. That's the kind of obedience. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul's telling Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. And he says that from a child you have known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you what? Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 16, he says, some scripture is okay for you. Some of it, you know, pick what you like, what fits in, right? No, all scripture, every word is given by inspiration of God. And I'm telling you, I know you've heard it at some point in time. The Bible's written by man. You know what? The Bible is written by man, given by the inspiration of God Himself. If you serve the God that I serve, you know that He would not let a man corrupt His holy word. This is His word. Have people written other things that aren't true? And this is God's word. This is inspired of Him. It's available for us, and it's inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, completely furnished unto all good works. Read your Bible. Know your Bible. Memorize the Bible. Pastor Jerry memorized the whole Bible. It'll take us some time to get there, but anytime I talk to Pastor Jerry, he's like, well, that's in 2 Corinthians 3:7. I was like, I knew it was in the Bible, you know, but he knows exactly where it is because he studied it and studied it and studied it. And that's what we're called to do. Study it. Read it. Let it come alive to you. This book is full of every answer to every question that we have. This book is full of promises and hope. Right? Promises. You said they're in the Bible, Paula. Well, open up your Bible and see what they are. Right? Dee said if we don't read our Bible, we get dehydrated. Right? Are you at your best when you're dehydrated? No. There's living, springs of living water, right? Read your Bible. Let it refresh you, encourage you. What did Jesus say about the Word? Well, He said in John 17:17, when He was praying over His disciples, He was praying to His Father, and He had said in the previous verse, they're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them through Your truth. Your Word is truth. This whole book is truth. It's not guessing. It's not trying to predict. It is true. Every single word of it from the inspiration of Almighty God. He said, Your Word is truth. Sanctify us through it. Jump back in the same book to John chapter 5. Jesus was speaking. You know, He had just healed a man, and of course, the Jews sought out to kill Him because He had broken the Sabbath. And Jesus started to preach, and He talked about John the Baptist, and that's who He's talking about here in verse 36. he said, I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And he said, the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. He said, you have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And then in verse 38 he says, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent. In him you don't believe. And then what's he telling him to do in verse 39? Search the scriptures. He goes, because in them you think you have eternal life. And they, these scriptures, they testify of me. The scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. They were too concerned with the law that they were missing out on the Messiah, the Savior. He said, if you'll read this and open up your hearts, you'll see that they're testifying of me. He told them, search the scriptures and you'll find me. Jesus is the living Word of God. Search the scriptures and you'll see that they testify of Jesus. Acts 17, verse 10. And it says, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And look what it says in verse 11. It said, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And it was because of the huge offering they gave them, right? They set out a nice feast and gave them a big offering. So they were more noble, right? That's what it says. No, it says they were more noble because they received the word with a readiness of mind. And then look what they did. They searched the scriptures every Sunday. They did. They searched the scriptures every Sunday to see if it was true. Because Sunday's the Lord's day, right? No, it says they searched the scriptures daily, every day. Get in your word. You say, I don't have time. I say, make time. Tell you, at my house, I'm not much for excuses. You have an excuse, we'll come up with a solution. We make solutions, not excuses. I saw a thing this week. It said, God does not inhabit the complaints of his people. We don't make excuses. Boy, I wish I had time to read the Bible. Make time. We do what we want. We prioritize things we want to do. I hate it when someone says, well, I wish I had time to whatever. Make time. Make time. We make time to sleep. We make time to eat. Make time for God. Right? Another thing I saw that I thought was beautiful, and this was months ago, it said all these people talk about wanting to spend eternity with God, but they don't have time for him right now. Make time for God. You can start spending every day with him. You don't have to wait till you're in heaven. You can spend every single day with him. They were more noble. They received the word with readiness. And they searched the scriptures daily. Are we more noble? Are we searching the scriptures daily? Only you know. Well, you and God. Get in your Bible. It's alive. It's powerful. It's unstoppable. How do we use it? How do we use the Bible, right? How do we use the scriptures? We speak it. You're like, I'm not good at remembering. You don't have to remember where they're found like Pastor Jerry. Just know that they're in the Bible, right? Do you know this one? With God, all things are possible. Speak it. Speak it out loud. Speak it when you're in trouble. Speak it when you have anxiety. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Speak the word of God. Over all things, in all of our lives, speak the word of God. The writer of Proverbs 18:21, and I'll just ask Rick to throw it up there. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Speak the life, the word of God. Don't speak death. Speak life. Right? There's a song that Toby Matt wrote. Speak life. What's life? The word of God. We sing all these songs that have scriptures in it. Maybe you can't remember a certain scripture. Remember a song that has scripture in it and sing it. It's still scripture. The Psalms are full of songs. If you read your Bible from front to back, you'll be like, huh, I've sang that song before. Huh, I've sang that song before. Because it's God's Word. That is what we should be speaking and singing. Number 6. Here's a song that we've sang. And it shows how we speak life. Verse 22, the Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you will bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Has Pastor Jerry been saying this over our congregation? Has he been saying it over our church? He should be, because it's the Word of God. And he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And guess what? When we do that, verse 27, they will put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them. The Lord bless you. Speak the word of God to your family, to your friends, over your situation, over lost people that you know, that they would come to know Him. The Lord bless you. Speak the word of God. Always. If we're going to give an account of every word that we speak, if we speak mostly Scripture, it's going to be a pretty nice time, right? Hey, you spoke a lot of Scripture. Awesome. Speak life. Speak the Scriptures over your families. Jesus defeated Satan with Scripture. Matthew chapter 4. If Jesus is our ultimate example, shouldn't we follow His examples? As you're turning there, I saw this thing, another thing this week. I love these little sayings, these little things that just get you. And it said, it's hard to get in shape spiritually if you only work out on Sunday. There's six other days that we're allowed to read our... Pastor Jerry, do you care if we read our Bible when we're not here? Pastor Jerry's going to allow it now. You can read your Bible every day. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, guess what? He was hungry. Because He was fully man and fully God. So 40 days and 40 nights and He's hungry. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And I've said before, I would have made it into a pizza. Or maybe a coconut cream pie. Or maybe Wanda's pineapple upside down cake. It's hard to say. But I would, you know, it would have been pretty easy. But what did Jesus do? He answered and He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where can we find that? Who was He quoting? What was He quoting? Deuteronomy 8:3 is what He was quoting. It says, and He humbled you, and He suffered you to hunger, and He fed you with manna, which you didn't know. Neither did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if not reading will make us dehydrated, it will also make us hungry. We cannot live as Christians without this Word of God, without this living bread. You're not meant to. He gave it to you to fill you. So Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 in Matthew 4:4. And then Jesus, first it says the devil, He took Him up into the holy city and He sets Him on a pinnacle of the temple. And He said unto Him, if you truly be the Son of God, cast yourself down. And look what Satan did. He quoted the Scripture. Does Satan know the Scripture better than you? Is Satan going to use the Scripture to trick you? Or do you know it? Do you know the whole counsel of God which is preached in this church and taught? Know the whole counsel of God. Because Satan said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written, He shall give His angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest at any time you would dash your foot against a stone. Is that scriptural? It is scriptural. It's in Psalm 91. Let's throw it up there and see if Satan said it. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Back to Matthew 4, Jesus said, you know what? You quoted the Psalms. I'm gonna do it. Right? He said, well, that's scriptural. No, we cannot take the Scripture out of context and make it mold to our lives. We have to know all of it and let God mold our lives. We cannot pick one Scripture, can we, and use it in any way that we want that's convenient. No. Jesus responded. He said unto Him, it's written again, that you will not tempt the Lord your God. And where's that? Deuteronomy 6:16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus perfectly quoted the scripture in the correct context. We do not tempt God. We do not tempt God. And that's exactly what he told him. Matthew 4 verse 8. Again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain. And he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says to him, all of these things will I give you if you'll just fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus in verse 10, get you hence, Satan. It is written, you will worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. And that's what Deuteronomy 6:13. You will fear the Lord your God and you will serve him. We don't bow to anyone but God. We don't serve anyone but God. And we will swear by his name. It is only God. He is the true king. We do not bow to anything else. So Jesus, when faced with adversity and temptation at his weakest point, he quoted the scriptures three times out of Deuteronomy. What do you think we should do when we're at our weakest and facing an attack from Satan? Quote the scriptures. But first we have to know them. We have to know what it says. Because sometimes our circumstances and the situations that are going on aren't going to look like it's going to come true. But guess what? It's going to. We have to know what he says so that when we're at our weakest, we can quote, with God all things are possible. We can quote, you know what? He will never leave me. I know it says that he will never leave me or forsake me. We have to know what it says so we can quote him when we're attacked. What's your favorite scripture? Learn it. Know it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to know our scriptures so that we can use them as a weapon against the enemy. Because he knows what we're using. We need to know him better. We need to know him and let God use his power through us, through his holy living word. And I'll close in John chapter 16. As you're turning there, so back in John 13, Jesus had washed his disciples' feet and they'd had the Last Supper, and he's promised them that the Holy Spirit is coming. And he tells them all these things. And he finishes out the chapter and he says in verse 32, he says, behold, the hour cometh. It's now come. That you'll be scattered, every man to his own, and you shall leave me alone. But he said, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And he said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he finished that, and then he went and took his seat on the throne, right? He overcame and he went and sat down. Well, first, be of good cheer. And then what happened? Well, he went into the garden. Well, then he got arrested. Well, then he was put on trial. Well, then he was crucified. Now, wait a minute, Jesus, you just said be of good cheer. You've overcome. What are you going to do? We died. You just told us be of good cheer and now you're dead? Do you think they were high-fiving? He just told them to be of good cheer. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Look, they're taking his body. High five. No. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. Jesus is dead. He was dead. He got laid in the tomb. They put a rock in front of it. But he just said, be of good cheer. It doesn't seem like we should be of good cheer. Does it? Sometimes it doesn't seem like that. But we should. Because the Word of God is unstoppable. It's true. It's powerful. John chapter 20. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early. When it was yet dark, she went to the tomb. The stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she runs and she comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. I love John. And she said unto them, they've taken away the Lord. They've taken him out of the tomb. And we know not where they've laid him, because he's dead somewhere else. That's what she's saying. He's not dead here anymore. He's dead somewhere else. Where'd they lay him? Well, then Peter went, and that other disciple, and they came to the tomb. So they both ran together. But John was faster than Peter. Peter was slow. And John thought that he should point that out. John outran Peter to the tomb. And he stooped down and he looked in and he saw the linen clothes were laying there. But he didn't go in. Then comes Peter following him. And he went into the tomb. And he sees the linen cloth lie. The napkin that was about his head. Not lined with the linen cloth. But wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first because he was faster. Went into the tomb and he saw, and they believed Jesus was gone. Verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture. They didn't understand. They had not been given understanding to know that he must rise again from the dead. Do you all know? Do we know that he wasn't taken and laid somewhere else? That he's alive today? Do we know the scripture? They didn't know the scripture. It had not been revealed to them. Has it been revealed to us? Is Jesus alive? Is he coming again for his church? Is he seated on the right hand of God? Is he alive and well? Is his word alive? Then we need to open it. We need to read it. We need to meditate on it. We need to hide it in our hearts. We need to speak it over everything that we come in contact with. We must know the living Word of God. They didn't understand yet. Do you? If you do, then you have victory. He's alive and a well living within us, operating today. Speak the Word of God. Live the Word of God. But first you must know the Word of God. You've been given permission to read it on a day other than today. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. His word is unstoppable, and it will last forevermore. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us every single thing we need in your word. We thank you that you wrote to us. You inspired men to write down what we needed for every aspect of our life. Lord, let us not waste it. Let us not neglect it. Let us not be too busy for you. God, I pray right now that you would convict each and every one of us to spend more time in your word. That we would be able to hide it in our hearts. That we would be able to speak it when we're in good times and in bad. When we're on the mountain or in the valley. That we know that we have a hope and a future because of you. Because you did leave that tomb on the third day. You defeated death. And you took our sin. We know, Lord, that your word will not return void. It will do what you please, and it will prosper. We need to speak it. We need to speak it so it will do what you please. So it will prosper. If we keep our mouths closed, Lord, shame on us. God, I ask for a Holy Spirit fire to come upon us to just encourage us and be with us. And Lord, open our eyes as we read it, Lord, because it is alive, Lord. You've shown us new things time after time after time out of the same scriptures, Lord. Let us not ever get tired of reading your word and learning about you. Let us meditate on it day and night. God, I thank you that you gave it to us. Now it's up to us to read it as you've given us the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. Lord, use us with your mighty word, with that sharp sword, to be a difference in a dark world, in a lost and crying world that only needs you. God, I pray that over this church, over everyone that hears this word, over my family, Lord. Use us as a light for you. And I ask it in Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.